Hi, and welcome to A View from the Bed. This is a CHI St. Vincent podcast where we talk to real patients about their healthcare perspective. We know that your healthcare journey can be scary, so that's why we want to get their view on the good, the bad, and the ugly from diagnosis to recovery. Enjoy today's episode. Well, thank you for joining today's podcast, View from the Bed, where we talk to real patients about their journey. And today we're going to talk to Shelly, and she has been going through or went through breast cancer.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about where it all began. You know, were you getting regular screenings, or was it something you knew you had a family history? Tell us a little bit about how that journey began for you.
Well, I do have a family history. So I go for regular checkups, and because I do have a strong family history with my mom. My mom had breast cancer and actually is a three-time survivor.
Oh, wow.
So I go every 6 months.
Okay.
And within a six-month span of my checkups, it came back.
Oh,
so the screening came back positive for breast cancer. So that's, I caught it really early,
okay.
But it was at a moderate growth. So it was growing faster. So I'm so grateful. Literally. So thankful and so grateful that I go every 6 months, because had I gone just doing my annual just once a year, it could have went into my lymph nodes or anything that really would have spread faster through my body. So, yeah. So going every 6 months is how it was caught. But it was prompted by me going every 6 months due to a family history.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So since you go every 6 months, are you in like a high risk program?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Over at the CHI Women's Clinic Breast Center.
Wonderful. So how, tell us a little bit before we get into your breast cancer journey, how were you identified that you needed to be in a high-risk program for breast cancer? And where did that kind of start?
When I started going to just do my mammograms, I started at 41. And primarily because of insurance, because I was wanting to start sooner. My mother was first diagnosed at 43 with breast cancer. And funny thing, same age.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, same age, same breast, same type.
Oh, wow.
So I am considered high risk because of my mom's early diagnosis of breast cancer. So that's what prompted the every 6 months.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So is that something that they talk to you about at the breast center when you went in for your mammogram, was you might be a good candidate for this program?
Absolutely. And it was a questionnaire asking about family history.
Okay.
So I actually have ovarian cancer in my family as well.
Okay.
But my mother having breast cancer automatically put me into high risk.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it was an option, and I'm just like, yes, you know, absolutely, yes. Do I want to be in the program? Yes.
Yes.
So, and gratefully, that was available because, like I said, that program allows me to come in and do every 6 months. And so that's ultrasound on top of the mammogram screening.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Well, and, you know, we talked to some women that they talk about, you know, how they have to do the ultrasound anyway because they have dense breast tissue.
Absolutely.
And how the ultrasound is added because the imaging alone doesn't quite get it. So it's nice that this program allows you to do both already. So when they found yours, it was through the ultrasound.
Yes.
What stage did it come back as when they told you? Talk a little bit about that.
Okay. I was in stage one because it was really early. So I'm very happy about that.
Yeah.
And I was at a rate of two.
Okay.
So that's where I was when they found it.
Okay. What happened? Tell us a little bit about the emotional side of, you've been in this program for a little bit. And now all of a sudden, here you are. And you're told you have stage one breast cancer. How did that feel?
Crazy, honestly. I mean, because everything happened. I mean, I've been going and nothing had ever come back. So, you know, I had no reason to feel alarmed that it would be different. You know, I've gone a couple of years at this point. and have never had anything. So it's just routine. And I'm just like, hey, okay, you know. And so I was a little shocked, you know. Okay. And to get the news is one of those things where I wanted to feel like a little scared, but I wasn't, which is interesting. And I think because I had seen my mother go through it and have seen other people and other friends actually go through the process, I knew this was not a death sentence. This was a process. So, and I knew I had a lot of support. I think that's, you know, I think I was more worried about my family than myself. So I think I had a little bit of a detachment, to be honest, emotionally from it when I first got the news. So, but everything happened so fast, and just primarily because I had the most amazing coordination of care. So everybody was just like, from diagnosis to surgery was 1 month.
Oh, my goodness.
So
that was quick.
Yeah. So I was diagnosed September 11th.
Okay.
And I had my breast removed on October 25th.
Oh, wow.
So everything was just so fast that I really don't know the emotion. It was after that I really kind of was like, things sunk in.
So once you received the diagnosis and you said it was really quick.
Mm-hmm.
Was the option proposed to you to remove the breasts? Like, was that the option for you?
Yes. Actually, to have a mastectomy or a lumpectomy. They were both presented. And the risk for both. Dr. Persevit was my surgeon, and she is absolutely amazing. She explained everything to me, asked questions, allowed me to call later, answered more questions, you know, so it was a very informed decision to have a bilateral and to have the recommendation also for a plastic surgeon.
Oh, yeah.
And they worked hand in hand.
Oh, wonderful.
So that really, really helped because he also explained everything. And she came back again, you know, are you sure? Are you comfortable with this decision? You know, are you sure you want to do this? You know, so it was really great. The support that she provided her and Whitney, her nurse, just amazing. It really helped me to have comfort in knowing that I was in the best hand. This is a hard thing to go through, but the experience and working with my care team has been great.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that can make all the difference.
It has.
You, especially because, you know, physically there'll be a healing period.
Yes.
You know, and I think sometimes we expect that part.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but what we don't expect all the time are the emotions and when they come.
Yes.
And when they hit us.
Yes.
And like you said, sometimes those emotions don't cash in until later.
Absolutely.
You're so focused on, okay, let's get a plan. Let's make a plan.
Yes.
Let's execute the plan. Mm-hmm. And then once the plan is executed, then you're like, oh, now here's how I feel.
Yes. And then that really is how it all kind of happens. Because you don't know what you feel until you kind of go through something. And then you just have a little moment to process. And at different stages, I think I felt different ways.
Sure.
So I had a sense of relief. You know, okay, we have the plan.
Yeah.
We're executing it. We got the cancer out. I'm happy. This part is done. So now it's the, I don't have breast. You know, that had a toll on my feminine idea or image.
Sure.
And it's just like, okay, I look like a boy, you know?
Yeah.
So it's that kind of stuff you deal with. And just the changes that you have to go through with all of those things. You know, I'm grateful that by having the bilateral mastectomy, I didn't have to go through radiation and I didn't have to go through chemo.
Yeah.
So that helped a lot that I didn't have to go through that portion of it.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a transition. I mean, even now there are days where I'm just like, oh, so I'm going through reconstruction. So it's a process. Okay, yeah. You know, it's still a process.
I know a lot of times, especially as females, right, we want to be tough and strong, but there is a moment that it does affect, it can affect your body image.
Yes.
When you wake up for the first time since maybe puberty, yeah, and there's nothing there.
Yes.
And especially if you're someone that can't have either reconstruction right away, because I know in some instances they can do it right away. And then some, there's a healing period before you can begin the process. So, you know, you might go through that moment where it's like, oh my gosh, there's nothing down here. That's kind of weird.
Yes. Absolutely.
You know, where you kind of sit with your emotions for a minute.
Yes. So the technician was amazing. And I knew that something was different.
Okay.
Because she had a look and she was going more in depth. And she was just like, hold on, let's go just look, you know. And it just took a little longer, which I'm so grateful for her thoroughness, you know, because had it been someone not as thorough, you know, they may not have seen everything needed to be seen.
Oh, sure.
So I am very grateful for that. And in fact, she's a survivor. So that's what was cool. I definitely haven't seen the entire team that I've had. Haven't seen.
Well, and you know, I think that is a cool thing about the high-risk program at St. Vincent. So many of the people that work in it are survivors.
Yes.
And they share their stories and their why. Mm-hmm. You know, why they're doing it.
Yes.
And that has to feel comforting if you're going through the program, even if you don't get a diagnosis, but if you're just going through the program, that there is that extra thoroughness because of their own journey, which I think is an amazing.
Absolutely. Talking to others.
Okay.
And support groups and being open. It's a hard thing because everyone does not understand, you know, but to be surrounded by people who do, I encourage everyone, get in a support group. Whether you do it in person or you do it online, get on forums, listen to other people, share your journeys, because you're not alone. I think that was the biggest piece that I took away from so many groups and so many people. It's a shared emotion. You know, we are not alone in feeling that way. So the validation that comes from having that support is priceless. Yeah. It really is priceless.
I think, too, the ability to phone a friend, if you will, you know, with just when you're recovering.
Yes.
With even just random questions. Is this normal? Did you have this sensation or did you feel this or did you, you know, go through that? Because everybody can help somehow, but if someone has been there, done it, you know, they can answer some of those kind of questions that might seem trivial, but it's like, did you kind of feel like you still have boobs?
I mean, absolutely, like, because you do have phantom pains, like any other limb that's maybe cut off or something, you do experience that because nerve endings, you know, so it's just like, and to ask, and I did, I have a really, really close friend who went through and she decided to not go through reconstructive surgery. Okay. So she was able to help me so much. She's like, oh, Shelly, that's normal. You're going to feel it. Yeah. You're going to feel some tingling. You're going to feel, you know, so she was able to really give me that information firsthand and to say, don't panic. You know, it's going to be okay.
Yes.
And it's invaluable. I mean, you know, you can't put a price, you can't put anything on that. It's just amazing and it's needed, you know, to just have that support is great.
You know, I think it's important too that whenever your emotions hit you, you kind of just go through them.
Yes.
No matter what those emotions are, whether it's, like you said, it's kind of like a cycle. It's relief or it's sadness or it's frustration with recovery or it, you know, because we're used to moving at a certain pace and then all of a sudden you're recovering and you're like, oh darn it, I can't do this right now. Or, you know, it can feel very frustrating and it's like, okay, just breathe, relax. Yeah. It'll be fine. If I can't do those dishes today or, you know, whatever it is,
yes,
it's okay. It'll be fine.
That's the hard part sometimes is having to slow down. And I think in the recovery, after you have surgery, is when things kind of become real because you are not working. You have a lot of just idle time to think. So absolutely. And then I had to tell myself, Shelly, this is a grieving process. You lost something. You know, something that's been with you all your life, kind of. So, yeah. So, you know, just accepting that and then giving yourself grace to feel what you feel. I think that is something that I've told to a lot of people since I've had surgery and that I had to remind myself, Shelly, just give yourself grace. If you upset today, be upset. If you are happy, be happy, you know, be sad or just validate yourself and give you yourself permission to feel. So.
And I think you pointed out early too, be open with those that you're close to about how you're feeling that day.
Yes.
Because they can help spot trends. Because sometimes, and this is true no matter if it's breast cancer or with any recovery, they can tell if you're sitting in your sadness a little longer than you need to, or if you're not quite emotionally bouncing back like you need to, and they can come alongside you and say, you know, maybe we need to talk to the doctor about helping with something to help you make you feel a little bit better. And that's okay. It's not permanent. It can be temporary. But just being open about how you feel so those around you can make sure you don't sit in a moment for too long.
Yes.
I think it's important.
And I think too, you know, even seeking professional help and counseling. I am an advocate, a strong advocate of counseling. And I think that everyone needs an outlet, you know, even outside of family, you know, and this is a major life event. So to have that professional help is definitely something that I would recommend. And there are a lot of free programs through jobs, different things. Just get the help. Just get the help. You know, don't be an island. You know, so definitely seek services.
I think like you said too, sometimes there's freedom in talking to somebody you don't know.
Because
you can be really honest.
Yes.
Really, really honest about how you feel or you're scared or, you know, you can be honest.
Yes.
With no fear of judgment.
Yes.
Not saying our friends and family would judge us. But
they worry about us because they love us.
That's right.
So we worry about them worrying about us. So sometimes, so sometimes it's a really good thing. I just think that, you know, we can all benefit, you know, just at different points in life.
I do want to ask this because you brought up a really good point. You know, some women choose not to go down a reconstructive path, but then some do. So for you, what made you decide you wanted to go down a reconstructive path?
I like having breasts. So, I mean, not that I'm a super girly girl, but I mean, you know, the way my body's built, I like having that part of my anatomy. Yes. So, and then just knowing that I could go in, even though I was not a candidate for some of the skin sparing or nipple sparing, I can still have the look that I had before, you know, with clothes and different things. So that was a big factor for me. And I didn't want to wear prosthetics. That was once I did a little more research with it. I just didn't want to do that. So I think that had a heavy weight on me deciding. So, and then I would like swimsuits and stuff. And I mean, you can still wear a prosthetic.
You can.
But, you know, I'd rather not have to switch out.
Sure.
So go swimming and come up with one boob. I don't know how that works. So, you know, what happened here? So, you know, that had a big part in, you know, me making the decision.
Well, I will tell you, ladies that might be watching, they would be so mad at me if I didn't ask you this. So, you know, I feel like we've all joked with our girlfriends about if we got to pick our own, right? Is it a little bit like shopping?
You know, it is.
Like you get to customize what's happening?
Yes.
Tell
actually,
us a little bit about it.
With the plastic surgeon, we kind of go over, you know, well, what size do you think you want to be?
Okay.
You know, and what kind of look, you know. So there are different kinds of implants. And of course, your surgeon will show all different kinds, you know. But you can kind of go dollies. Or, you know, you can just do more natural, moderate size or different things. But you absolutely are in control of the size that you're wanting to have.
Yeah.
So if you've been a little deflated or you've had kiddos or some things are different, you know, you get an option to be perky maybe
there
again.
You go.
So, you know, it's definitely up to you and your surgeon, of course. But
I think the cool thing too about the reconstruction is even if it's something that if you're at your place in your journey and you're not quite ready to make that decision at this moment.
Yes.
It's never off the table, which
absolutely.
Is nice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Even with reconstruction, just if you're not ready or you don't know if you want to even have reconstruction, it's not the pressure there because you can still come back. Mm-hmm. You know, if you say, okay, 6 months, I've healed. I don't know if I really, you know, want to do this or I don't know if I want to stay flat.
Yeah.
You know, you still have options.
Yeah.
So I personally was able to do immediate, what they call immediate reconstruction, where they went in to do expanders at the time of my breast being removed.
Okay.
So that was cool.
That is cool.
You know, so I was a candidate for that.
Okay.
So that's an option.
Yeah.
You know, so just knowing, being informed, you know, and knowing that you can still come in and have what you want.
Yeah.
So, and don't be afraid. It's your body.
What is one thing that people that wanted to do something for you could do for you during your journey that meant a lot? What was something that they did? And maybe they didn't even know it was going to mean so much to you.
I think I received a lot of responses from people with cards because honestly, it was a time where I didn't want to talk.
Yeah.
So to get a card to just say, hey, I'm thinking about you, meant a lot, you know, or a text message. Those communications, because honestly, when you're healing, you have a lot going.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, meals are nice. Having someone come to clean your home is amazing. I was blessed with that privilege to have someone come in and clean. I had meals that were brought to me. And Grubhub, if you are not that close to a person, send them a Grubhub or a DoorDash gift card.
Yeah, that's a good
because
one.
That right there was a lifesaver. And if you're really close to the person, just be there. You don't have to talk. You don't have to, you know. And the one thing too is that we are going through enough. We don't want to talk about it all day.
Yeah.
So life goes on outside
I'm sure.
of that. So just having different conversations help mm-hmm. other than just how you feeling? How you feeling? You okay? Do you need it? You know, because that can sometimes wear a person out. So
yeah. Or it's like, tell me your drama.
How did your baby do with the play or how did, you know, just other things just to not think about it constantly, you know, just have a break from it mentally.
Uh-huh.
It's really great.
Maybe like movie night.
Yeah.
Just come over and let's watch movies.
Absolutely.
Or TV or whatever.
Anything.
Yeah.
So that those things really do help.
You know what though? Gifting a maid service.
The best.
Oh man.
The best.
That's a great idea.
Yes. That alone. Being in a clean house, oh my goodness.
Yeah. Especially if you're used to having a clean house.
Yes.
And you can't do it.
Absolutely.
That can drive you insane.
It does.
I mean, just like, oh my gosh. Like, my house is so dirty. And
just having things convenient, you know, really helps. And if someone is really, really close, having them to come in beforehand and move things down low.
Yes.
You can't reach above your shoulders or anything. So you're kind of at T-Rex arms for about 6 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
So having things conveniently placed helps.
You don't realize how high things are.
Yes.
Until you can't lift.
Yeah. And laundry. Different things like that. Having someone to just come over and do laundry. People really want to help, but they don't know how to.
Yeah.
So I think the hardest thing for me was actually telling people what I want them to do.
Yeah.
But I want to share, if you are going through this process, let people know. Don't be afraid to tell people what you need help with. You know, and they'll do it. You know, I had more people to say, "Shelly, how can I help you?" than my request for help. So just know people love you and they want to help. So get the help.
And, you know, that's such a good point, is because if you're not personally going through the journey, you kind of feel crippled. We forget that other people are asking because they truly want to know what to do.
Yes.
For you.
Because they are the lost. Most people haven't dealt with it. So they don't know what to do for someone. So make a list, you know, and just say, "Hey, I have these things," you know, and just know people really want to help genuinely, you know, and let them. You know, I mean, don't sit there and stress about all of these things in your head of things to do. No. Go ahead and just let them take the time to really do.
When you let them, it gives you company.
Yes.
And so it's like, I mean, they might not do it the way you would do it, but that's okay.
It is.
If it's a good friend, you can tell them about it. You
absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely.
And you gave us great ideas. I mean, heck, you're going to need your house cleaned. You're going to need things moved down to like center body level. I mean, you're going to need a playlist. Music and TV and movies. You're going to need food. Mm-hmm. I mean, so many things. You might need rides to doctor's appointments.
Absolutely.
I mean, heck, if you don't have a list started, there's 6 things right there you can start divvying out. So I think that's really important to just start a list.
Absolutely.
Well, if you had advice for anyone watching, whether maybe they haven't gotten their mammogram and they should, or we know a lot of people delayed through COVID, you know, the mammogram process, or maybe they just got a diagnosis, or maybe they're a friend to someone that's just been diagnosed. What is something you want to leave them with about your story today?
Prevention. Don't be afraid. Just go. Just go. You know, it might just save you or someone you love. And you don't know how you're supporting someone else. So just go, team up, you know, have a mammogram party, you know, go and don't be afraid to know. I think that's my biggest piece is don't be afraid to know. I think that goes hand in hand with prevention. It's a process.
That's a big one.
Yeah, it's a process. But it doesn't have to end bad. You know, there's some silver lining.
Silver linings. That's life. What it's all about.
So,
life.
Yes.
Picking out new boobs.
Yeah.
So all fun things.
Good stuff. Good stuff. So,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for sharing your journey with us today. You've just been such a joy. And we can't wait to see till you're fully pumped up.
Oh, absolutely.
Check in with you to see how you're doing. And until next time, to all of our viewers, you heard it, prevention. If you're due for a mammogram, or maybe you're past due, or maybe you've never had one, talk to your doctor. Go do it. Just find out. It's peace of mind. Peace of mind if you get a diagnosis or if you don't. It's peace of mind, and you'll have a plan and a care team.
Yes.
That will help you through that journey.
Absolutely.
You'll never be alone. Until next time, guys. I don't know who we'll be talking to next, but join us next month so we can talk to another patient going through a real journey. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for today's episode of A View from the Bed, A Patient's Perspective. We hope that you found it helpful. We hope that it helped you make your healthcare decisions. We hope that it made you feel a little more comfortable with your own journey, and we hope that you'll join us next time.